Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Live this Thursday afternoon, April the 22nd. A little open lines to round off the program today. A question that I know you have an opinion on. I know you have an answer for. I want to hear it. Do you think there should be an abortion litmus test for Supreme Court nominees? The president said while he will be nominating someone for the Supreme Court, he has no litmus test. He says every president says this. He has no litmus test. He does want to protect women's rights. He does want to protect a right to privacy. All right, those may be code words. Do you think there should be a litmus test with regard to the issue of abortion for Supreme Court nominees? It is the issue that always comes up whenever there's a vacancy on the Supreme Court. So should there be a litmus test? 1-877-623-6943. It's open lines. I want your answer to that question. 1-877-623-MYIE. You can email your answer, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll get those emails right here in the studio in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org. Twitter us @issuesetc or leave your answer to that question and your reasons at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, before we hear from you, let's hear what the president had to say yesterday about the issue of abortion litmus tests for Supreme Court nominees.
I am somebody who believes that women should have the ability to make often very difficult decisions about their own bodies and issues of reproduction. I will say the same thing that every president has said since this issue came up, which is I don't have litmus tests around any of these issues, but I will say that I want somebody who is going to be interpreting our Constitution in a way that takes into account individual rights, and that includes women's rights. And that's going to be something that's very important to me, because I think part of what our core constitutional values promote is the notion that individuals are protected in their privacy and their bodily integrity, and women are not exempt from that.
So what do you think? Should there be an abortion litmus test for Supreme Court nominees? Our email address here in the studio on this Thursday afternoon, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. You can send your answer any of those ways. You can leave it at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. This from Facebook, Ryan in Paris, Illinois says, isn't it already? Don't pro-abortionists look for someone who will uphold Roe v. Wade while pro-lifers look for someone who would consider overturning it? Well, that's true. I think that's quite true, especially with regard to pro-life and pro-choice presidents. Should there be a litmus test? In other words, should, if you're a pro-life president, should you be able to either decide to nominate someone because of their views on abortion? Most presidents say they don't even discuss it with the people they're considering. They don't discuss abortion because they think it might come up before the court and no one can speak in advance of how they will decide. When the Senate considers these things, should they have a litmus test too? 1-877-623-6943. talkback@issuesetc.org or Twitter us @issuesetc. Dan in Columbus, Ohio, via Facebook says, one can be a pro-choice judge and overturn Roe v. Wade on account of that it was legislated from the bench. The Supreme Court, with its ability to decide which laws violate the Constitution, should protect the process and the rule of law by which laws are made. I'm not an optimist, he says, though, that the current administration would nominate such a person who would protect the rule of law given its expansion into picking winners and losers in the banking industry, healthcare industry, and others. So no optimism there, But I think a point, this is a very valid point, someone could be a pro-choice judge personally and still think that Roe v. Wade as law is bad law. Do you agree or disagree? Should there be a litmus test? 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MY-IE. Twitter us at IssuesETC or send us your email talkback@issuesetc.org. Michael in Springfield, Missouri says, regardless if we believe that there should be or not, every Democratic president uses it. If the candidate for the court believes in abortion, they have a shot. If not, you need not apply. Well, doesn't every pro-life president use it too? Do they use a litmus test? Now, President Obama has said he's not going to use a litmus test. He said in other remarks yesterday that he does not plan on discussing abortion with any of the prospective candidates for the Supreme Court. He wants someone who will protect the right to privacy, and he wants someone who will protect women's rights, all human rights. It kind of goes without saying you would want a judge to protect human rights. What about the rest of you? Talkback at IssuesETC.org, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or Twitter us at IssuesETC. See, Rick in Rockford, Illinois emails us, yes, there should be a litmus test for Supreme Court nominees, he says. The Constitution of the United States, since all men are created equal, which includes men and women of all ages, they need the same protection as everyone else. This includes the unborn, who are nevertheless human and individuals, even if they are dependent on their mothers. Keep your laws off my body betrays the fallacy that there is not a separate life there. Indeed, there is. Rick, thanks for listening in Illinois. He thinks there should be a litmus test. Now, see, does that make some sense to you? Let's stop using the euphemisms like strict constructionist or originalist or interpret the Constitution or protect women's rights or protect a right to privacy, which sounds like a great thing when you just hear it and then you realize he's talking about a woman's right to abort her child. Let's drop the euphemisms, all of us on both sides, and simply say pro-life or pro-choice, in favor of Roe or not, in favor of abortion on demand or not. Should that be a question put either before the nomination or during the nomination process to our Supreme Court justices? In other words, a full-blown, all-out, no-euphemism litmus test for both sides on the issue of abortion when it comes to the Supreme Court. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943, talkback at IssuesETC.org. Twitter us at IssuesETC. Let's see, from Facebook, David in Santa Clara, California says, why can't we just nominate people who are cut and dry when it comes to the law? Judges shouldn't legislate from the bench. As a constitutional expert, one would think that the president would know that. And now, he never said someone should legislate from the bench. He did talk about judges that will interpret the Constitution. That's usually set as kind of code against someone who is an originalist or a strict constructionist, which, as I pointed out before, could also qualify as euphemisms and a way of kind of veiling a litmus test. When President George W. Bush had an opportunity to nominate several people for the U.S. Supreme Court, he was accused of using a litmus test there. Who did he nominate? As far as we can tell, pro-life justices. But he claimed that when he was talking to them before their nomination, he didn't bring up the issue of abortion. It was not part of the conversation. He wanted to understand their judicial philosophy, which is precisely what President Obama said. He wants to understand their judicial philosophy, and abortion shouldn't be an issue. Can we actually do this without a litmus test of some kind, whether we use euphemisms or not, to hide the fact that we are? Helen in Austin, Texas says, the president wants someone who agrees with him. President has one of those code words. It isn't mine. Well, everyone knows where the president stands on abortion. He's made that quite clear to his pro-choice supporters. And of course, you would expect a president to want someone to sit on the Supreme Court who agrees with him. That's part of the prerogative of being a president. When it's a pro-life president and they want someone who agrees with them, pro-lifers don't squawk too much about it, do they? Do you think that the pro-life presidents use a litmus test? They claim not to. Although, for one, I would think it would be refreshing if our presidents, our senators, everyone involved just dropped the euphemisms and said, look, abortion is the elephant in the room when it comes to the Supreme Court. Abortion is the big issue. Let's talk with them about whether or not it's good or bad law. Is there some reason that Roe v. Wade has to be sacrosanct, undiscussed, and we act as though it doesn't exist when it really is the only thing that actually matters to most people who care about Supreme Court nominees? 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Dave in Southfield, Michigan, via Facebook, he says, there's no need for an abortion litmus test if the nominee takes a strict constructionist view of the Constitution. The Supreme Court justice should base his or her decision solely on the Constitution and the intent of the drafters. Although, and I agree with you there, although someone would say, yeah, but strict constructionist is just code word for pro-life. And there you are, back at a litmus test. You say no litmus test. But when you talk about someone being a strict constructionist, everyone knows what that means. It means someone who will not find a right to privacy, who will not find a woman's right to choose in the U.S. Constitution. So it looks like we have litmus tests, even though we don't think we have them. It looks like we have them, although we may, through our euphemisms, deny that we have them. Are you tired of the euphemism when it comes to choosing Supreme Court nominees? Do you think the Supreme Court nominees should be required to answer the question, is Roe v. Wade good or bad law? I mean, they are, after all, going to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court. They are going to judge the laws and the various legal standards of this nation based on the Constitution. Should they be required to answer that question, is Roe good or bad law? 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, April the 22nd. Talk back at issuesetc.org. I want your answer to the question, should there be a litmus test for Supreme Court nominees?
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Do you find the book of Revelation to be discomforting, discouraging, and downright difficult? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a lay-friendly commentary on Revelation. It's titled Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation by Dr. Lewis Brighton. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup hole if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, April the 22nd. You're giving your answers to my question. Do you think we should just drop the euphemisms and have a full-blown, fully acknowledged abortion litmus test for Supreme Court nominee. Stop dancing around it and just say, yes, I want someone who will uphold Roe, or yes, I want someone who will not uphold Roe for the Supreme Court. Our call-in number, your answer to that question, should there be a litmus test on abortion for Supreme Court nominees, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Twitter your answer to us, at IssuesETC. Send us your email right here in the studio in real time, talkback at IssuesETC.org. Thanks to Pastor Dennis Castens, Pastor John Ferguson, where they are at Peace in South County, St. Louis, for being part of the Issues Etc. 300. That congregation supports Issues Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more in its annual budget. A lot of congregations are finding it a great way to advertise their congregation, because when you become part of the Issues Etc. 300, your congregation is added to a list both in the Issues Etc. journal and at our website under the Find a Church page, and all your contact information is included there. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, how your congregation can join, by going to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find there a flyer that you can download and print off and take to your congregation. Ask them to be part of the Issues Etc. 300. Larry in Atlanta says, I think there needs to be a Constitution litmus test. Then the abortion issue, along with many others, will be dealt with. And I think that's along the same lines as let's have judges that are strict constructionists. Mike is calling from his car. Mike, thanks for waiting on the line.
Hi, Pastor. I think you put it bluntly when you said we all know what is being understood when these code words are said. We understand that Obama is going to put up more of the liberal type philosophies, those judges that have those philosophies, and George Bush did just the opposite. And I think the reason that you're not going to see anything but the code words, and this was discussed, you can listen to Fox News for the rationales behind this, but the rationale is that if you come out and be blunt and say, I am going to put judges out there that are against abortion, you're going to have the flurry of onslaught from the liberal left, and probably the same from the right, justifiably so, from Obama's position. And, it's much easier to get your judges in if you come from more of a less left or more of a middle stream. And that's the philosophy that the presidents have taken, and that's the reason. So you can get the people in you want, get the Senate approvals, and move forward. Otherwise, you have to deal with the onslaught of the media and asking the questions, and then it's just a pain, to tell you the truth.
Well, it's a pain either way, Mike. Thank you very much. Thanks for giving us a call. But think about it. We've all watched the nomination process. We've all watched the Senate hearings. Everyone watching knows what they're talking about. They may never even mention abortion, but we know that's the subject. It's the subtext there. The nominee knows it. He does his best not to reveal it. The people asking the question know it. The president who makes the nomination knows it. Why not just drop the facade? Yes, there would be an onslaught back and forth, but there already is, because everyone already understands the euphemisms and the code words in play. How about just a litmus test? And let's call it a litmus test and have our presidents say, you know what, I think Roe's bad law. And I'd like to see men or women on the Supreme Court that agree with me and eventually get that law off of our books, or vice versa. 1-877-623-MYIE. Still time for your thoughts, your answer to the question, do you think there should be a litmus test? 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. Let's see. Vicky says, funny how it's the ones who are born who get to debate the issue. Well, that's quite true. Only those who are born get a voice in this. I remember it must have been Hadley Arkus, a regular guest on this program, who's author of the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. Talks about the right to choose. Where does it come from? Does the unborn woman in the womb have the same rights as the woman carrying that unborn woman? Where do those rights come from? Are they Americans too? Nascent Americans, but Americans nonetheless, citizens ready to enter the world and act as citizens. Meanwhile, presidents, their nominees, their advisors, and all the rest of us kind of go along with the kabuki dance. All of us saying, no litmus test, no litmus test, when we already have one. Pro-choice presidents have their litmus test. Pro-life presidents have their litmus tests. And we all act like none of us do. When abortion is the elephant in the room when it comes to Supreme Court nominees. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, written by a regular guest here on the program, a great guest and a great Bible scholar too, Dr. Lewis Brighton. He has done the majority of his work in the book of Revelation, and that's why the book of the month for April is the popular commentary on Revelation from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. It's on almost every page of our website, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about the popular commentary on Revelation, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, the Concordia Popular Commentary on Revelation. Well, a judge in Wisconsin has ruled that the National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional. Let's find out a little bit more about this story from CNN.
In God we trust, words printed on our money.
God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
The signature ending to the president's speech.
Lord, at this time.
Religion and prayer are central to the lives of many Americans. But where is the line between personal religion and government involvement? Congress in 1952 mandated the president establish one day a year as National Prayer Day, when Americans are urged to take time to pray. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, a group of agnostics and atheists, say that's unconstitutional. Dan Barker was an ordained minister for 19 years before he became an atheist.
What's wrong with having a National Day of Prayer?
Well, there's nothing wrong with a National Day of Prayer if it's voluntary and private. The public square being the government. In the public square, in our official secular government, religion does not and should not have a place. Our government is secular.
Wisconsin federal judge Barbara Crabb agreed, declaring National Prayer Day unconstitutional, a violation of the separation of church and state.
U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb said prayer is such a personal issue that the government should not try to use its authority to influence whether someone prays or not. But many in the religious community strongly disagree.
When you talk about religious things, everybody's got an opinion.
The pastor of the Smith Springs Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee, says National Prayer Day is an expression of religious beliefs, nothing more.
Urging the citizens to pray is not the establishment of a religion. It is simply urging people to pray as they wish. And that's all it is. It's not a requirement. There's no punishment for not doing so.
The First Amendment says the government can't take sides on religion, but it also guarantees the right to free speech and expression. And on National Prayer Day, religious groups plan to keep on praying. Lisa Sylvester, CNN, Nashville, Tennessee.
It's hard to know what to think when you hear about this. Judges can declare just about anything they want, probably a tempest in a teapot. My concern about a National Day of Prayer is that it's more a ritual of American civil religion than of any particular religion. You're going to have Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, all are invited to the party to pray either separately or together. The assumption seems to be, although some who do this would disagree, that we're all kind of praying to the same God. And how does it hurt? The Buddhist prays to his God, the Jew to his God, the Christian to his God, the Muslim to his God. Well, that's the nature of American civil religion, isn't it? If the National Day of Prayer is something that you do, as you say, because you want to pray for your nation, why limit it to one day? In fact, I think the Bible instructs Christians to pray for their leaders, their kings, those who govern them, always, perpetually. So it's hardly to be limited to one day. But if it is merely another ritual of American civil religion, where all roads lead to God and all prayers end up somehow funneling up to the same deity, or it doesn't really make any difference who you pray to, Christians should have some qualms about participating in something like that, where all gods are, at least in terms of prayer, equivalent with one another. But again, that is the nature of American civil religion. In the service of the good of the state or of society or of culture, any particular god simply won't do. It has to be the generic small g god. When Christians raise their voice in prayer, they're doing something very particular, not in service of the state or of culture or of society. When they raise their voices in prayer, they're calling out in faith to the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This should be done perpetually, every day, for our nation, for all men, for all manners of estates. And to reduce Christian prayer to just an act, a ritual of American civil religion is, well, what do you call it? Idolatry? I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.